strange.
You're in the tube. It's kind of like the mail didn't know it was in pneumatic tubes going all through the building.
Yeah.
It just did it. And it's a combination of maglev technology and a low pressure environment that allows the maglev technology to be more efficient than it normally is. I could see it having, is it going to be the transportation everywhere in the future? No, I don't think so. Do I think it has limited use and value? Absolutely. I think if you ran a Hyperloop from Washington, D.C. to Boston, it would be exceptionally profitable. If you ran a Hyperloop
from London
to Paris, you could make a lot of money off of it. The problem is routing the thing, you know, because it basically has to be either a straight shot or a very gently curved shot. You know, you can't bend stuff when you're moving at those speeds.
And this is above ground?
Yeah. There's nothing to say it couldn't be underground, but the test
then
track...
Then you start getting in the problems with...
The test track that they're building is above ground. If you're talking about Abu Dhabi to Dubai, I gotta believe you're going above ground because nobody...
That's gonna be high up.
Nobody wants excavations in the sand. No, it's not really that high up. You know, it's about... The Abu Dhabi to Dubai might be higher up. But if you think about it, train tracks are ground level. So if you ran it in the same kind of an easement, it'd make sense. It's WMFO Medford. I don't know. I don't know if I want to be, if I'm sitting up, I'd want to be in this thing. I like the idea of getting to New York in 30 minutes.
I want to do it. I'd do it.
I can't even do that in a plane. It's 30 minutes just to get to the start.
I'm actually taking a flight on Friday.
It's 30 minutes just to get to the start of the security line.
Mm-hmm. No, why
there's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
Yeah, if you like weather, you're going to like the next few days because we're going to have some. Plenty. It stays warm tonight. Lows right around 40 degrees with a chance of some showers in various parts of the state. They'll come and go pretty quickly, but they could be out there. Tomorrow, it's going to be mostly sunny. The rain is gone. Highs in the mid-40s once again tomorrow. Lows around 30 degrees tomorrow night. And then the cold returns just in time for the weekend. Friday, we could see some snow. If you are in the immediate WMFO Medford range, maybe an inch at most. If you were down on the South Shore, you could get 1 to 3 inches. That clears out later in the day on Friday. Highs in the mid-30s, lows in the teens Friday night. Saturday, well, if you like last weekend, you're going to love this one. High of 20 degrees, plenty of wind. Wind gusts up to 22 miles an hour. Temperatures in the single digits once again on Saturday night. Sunday, not much better. It'll be mostly sunny, high in the mid-20s, low in the teens. Sunday night.
Yay, spring.
Yeah, Saturday. What was it on Saturday? They were saying on the radio that the low temperature Saturday night would be
brutal.
2.
Yeah.
2. That's not a temperature. It is WMFO 91.5 FM in Medford. When we come back, did you hear all the other things that caught our attention this week?
This is Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Many people ask me, is a prime rib roast prime quality? Not necessarily. Prime rib is just another name for a beef rib roast. You'll often see it written this way on restaurant menus. Prime rib is not a reference to the grade or quality of the meat. This is a little confusing since the top grade for beef is USDA prime. So you could have a USDA prime rib, or you could have a USDA choice prime rib. So remember, if you're looking for the top grade of beef, look for the letters USDA along with the word prime. Or if you want the next quality grade, look for USDA choice. It's almost as high in quality and is the grade sold in most stores. For more free information on buying meat, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He is Derek Gary and I'm Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday night. As always, we want you to be a part of the show. You can do that by giving us a call at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. And of course, it's time for Did You Hear? Part of the show where Derek and I quiz each other for bragging rights of who paid attention most to the news. Saying word, I'm going to explain the story. So there's always tons and tons of news going on.
A quiet news week.
Yeah, was it?
Really, really, really slow news week. Tough to find things this week.
The Marine Corps.
I believe you'd be talking about United Marines, which was the secret Facebook group in which a number of Marine, former and current duty Marines shared naked images and videos of their fellow Marines without their consent.
Yeah, not good. Over the weekend, it came out that some Marines allegedly shared, as Derek said, nude photos of their female coworkers and other women. The Marine Corps is investigating. The photos were allegedly taken without the female's consent, and they were posted to this private Facebook group that had about 30,000 followers. So also the posts include the women's full name, rank, and where they worked. Some of the members had sexually explicit comments. Of course, this is like some locker room talk. Not a good look.
No. That doesn't happen in locker rooms. I don't know what kind of locker rooms you've been in, Lisa Nichols, but men don't talk like that in locker rooms. Yeah. Conduct unbecoming, to put it kindly. Guys, we expect a little bit more than this from the few, the proud. And apparently, since this has been discovered and the Facebook group has been shut down, they've just wandered off and found other places to do this. So we're talking about some pretty incorrigible dudes here. Not a good look, guys. Not a good look. Fairgates. Yep.
Not like something gate, like a scandal.
Fairgates. This is a local story.
Ooh.
The big local story.
Fairgates. I don't know.
This was a huge story on Monday. That will affect everybody. Fairgates could be coming to North, South, and Back Bay stations if Keolis has its way as part of a $10 million program to cut down on fare cheating among commuter rail riders. Passengers would also be able to pay for their tickets by credit card on the train as part of the program. Keolis estimates that $35 million in fares are evaded. This is their language.
Because nobody pays attention on the train.
$35 million in fares are evaded. In reality, the conductor never comes by
your
and swipes your Charlie
don't
card.
Don't pay attention, yeah.
Right. That's the conductors can't handle all the traffic on the trains. Now, they maintain most of this is people coming out of North, South, and Back Bay. So,
yeah, I have a friend that takes the train from Salem to North Station at every day that she works, so at least 5 days a week, and says maybe twice.
Yeah.
They check her Charlie card.
Yeah. That's like, it's the best deal in town. It's like you buy five rides, get 20 free.
Yeah. Especially if you pretend that you're sleeping.
Yeah. And if you get on at a busy time, the odds of you getting away with this are very high. So the fare gates would basically charge you before you got on the train. And given that everyone is either going to or from one of these stations, this would at least help with the exodus from the city. But, you know, it does represent a massive change for the MBTA, which has always been very open, you know, in that you can walk around, you get on a train without having to pay anybody mm-hmm. for it. And there's a quaintness to that we like around here. Well, Keolis is saying it doesn't jibe with 21st century reality. They may be right.
Oh, it doesn't like losing money? So strange. Londonderry, New Hampshire. This is a fun story yesterday.
Yesterday, Londonderry, New Hampshire. Did something fall down?
No.
Nothing fell down. Was somebody arrested?
No.
Well, I got no idea.
So if you're curious about Londonderry, what do you do when you need to know something? But you Google it. Well, apparently there is a huge fight going on. So if you Google Londonderry or Londonderry, New Hampshire as a default photo, it appears and it's a picture of a bridal party that are all wielding guns. Yeah. And a local state representative, Al Bassaro, who is an outspoken President Trump supporter. So many of the people of the community were mad about this, and big fights have been going on within the town, and they finally changed the picture.
Was this a story outside of Londonderry, New Hampshire?
It was. It was all over the Boston articles.
Okay, because I somehow missed that entirely, and really they need something better to do with their time up in Londonderry, New Hampshire. Statue of Liberty
is in New York.
Ooh. Don't tell me you missed this.
Was this Monday too?
No, this was the story that everyone woke up to this morning.
I don't know.
The Statue of Liberty went dark last night.
Oh, yeah?
During repair work or installation work for new backup generators, all of the lights in the Statue of Liberty went out with the exception of the torch and the crown. The National Park Service has said an unknown outage related to improvements made in the wake of Hurricane Sandy were responsible for the outage. They got the lights back on, but there was a lot of noise about her taking the day off for International Women's Day. I like to think Donald Trump is just turning off the lights to send a message to the world.
Yeah. Nike, another big story.
Nike I don't know how I feel about this, has come out with the pro hijab. Yes. For Muslim female athletes. Because
apparently there's a demand.
There is a demand. But the thing about it is, I don't think you're really showing respect for God by wearing a Nike swoosh on your head. And I am sure somebody is going to have something to say about that. And probably rightfully so. We don't generally allow advertising on religious garments.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are a lot of novelty yarmulkes out there, but that's the one thing. I think it's a great idea. But when I saw the pictures of it with the giant Nike swoosh on the side, I'm like, really?
Yeah, apparently many Muslim female athletes were complaining about how their traditional head garb had been getting in the way, or it wasn't for performance. So Nike came out and announced this, and I'm sure it's all about Nike being all-inclusive and whatnot, and yeah.
Emma Watson.
Oh, I remember seeing a story. Oh, this was earlier in the week.
This was Monday.
Beauty and the Beast, it had something to do with it. Something about singing.
No.
But it's something about Beauty and the Beast.
It's tangentially related.
Okay, what?
Because it's part of her publicity tour. Finds herself in hot water after she appeared topless in Vanity Fair magazine. She's not entirely topless. She is wearing a crocheted shawl. and this sent a lot of people into a tizzy. At least one British commentator took her down a few pegs for appearing like that in Vanity Fair. Emma Watson responded by saying, quote, "Feminism is about giving women choice," end quote. Look, feminists can wear whatever they want. Okay, you want to walk around topless? Fine, that's your business. I don't think when you're promoting a children's movie, you ought to be flashing a lot of side boob, Emma. That's just
one more thing.
It's just my thought. If you did this for
you, it's femininity. It's a liberating, and yeah.
If you did,
but no,
this,
they think about more of themselves.
If you did this while you were promoting The Circle, that thing that comes out later this year, that's fine. For the Disney movie, keep your boobs in. All right, please.
And that's coming from you.
Please.
Who wants to see
I'm just. There's got to be a lot of parents out there that look at this and they're like, I don't want my kids seeing that.
But then again, how many kids are looking at Vanity Fair?
Yeah.
Waze. As in...
Yeah, no, I... Yep. Yeah. Waze is raising the ire of city planners because the Google-owned app let's keep in mind, this is a Google project, folks, has been routing drivers into residential neighborhoods.
I'm raising my hand right now because I am completely guilty of this.
Much to the chagrin of those of us who grew up in an area and know all of the back roads. We don't want you Waze layabouts coming in and taking advantage of our shortcuts because you clog them up and you don't know where you're going, so you're too damn slow.
Right.
The residents of these neighborhoods don't appreciate having all this commuter traffic around because they don't know where they're going and they're too damn fast.
Mm-hmm.
So Waze is now trying to find ways of working with city planners. In the meantime, city planners are doing things like making, like eliminating exits at certain times of day, making streets run one way, anything they can do to keep the traffic on the highway.
I'm going to say it right now. I think Waze is a godsend. It has gotten me to so many places where there is traffic. And so many times I never knew there were side streets. Apparently they are. Perfect example, when, you know, Route 9 and the Mass Pike were completely backed up, it would have been estimated time like 2.5 hours. Because I went through all the back roads of Wellesley, Newton, I made it there in 1 hour and 15.
If I'm anywhere in Massachusetts, I don't need it.
Seriously. You just like lick your fingers, stick it up, figure out where the wind's going.
I know all of the alternate routes in this state. Yeah. Every last one of them.
I remember that one single time, the one time that I was late on this show, you told me, well, why didn't you go through Cambridge?
Exactly.
Unfortunately, I was stuck on the street that didn't move anywhere. So unless I had that Hyperloop that was going to transport me over the Charles... It didn't happen.
Yeah, unless I wind up in one of those, I can get around traffic all day long. Don't need your app. You can keep it. Fatty liver.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that someone admitting to having fatty liver, I think.
No, sorry. I thought you were going to talk about George Michael.
Oh, see? Lisa doesn't get it. But the host of On the Tell Mikey D gets it. Thanks for bailing out my co-host who didn't deserve
fatty
that.
Fatty liver is because of George Michael's death.
Oh, now she gets it. Wow. You know what? We gotta put a silence policy. Did you see the on-air thing lit up when you
walked
in? You
know you are one of my favorite hosts of On the Tell.
Yes, so George Michael died on Christmas Day due to complications from heart disease and a fatty liver. There will be no criminal investigation because nobody drugged him to death.
All right. Last one for you. President Erdogan. We mentioned him earlier.
Recep Tayyip Erdogan of Turkey.
Yep, you said it yesterday.
What did he... Oh, God. Saw the headline, didn't read the story, couldn't tell you what the guy's doing.
Yeah, not a good
look.
Did
he blow up more Kurds?
No, but he said Germany is still using, quote, Nazi practices. that's always a good thing to bring up with the Germans. They don't want to be reminded of that. It all started last week when German officials canceled 2 Turkish political rallies in the country. And just to remind you, Turkey went through a failed military coup last year. And ever since then, Erdogan's been trying to pass this bill that would change the constitution to give him more power.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like that. So Germany's standing up and saying, no, not doing it.
All right, last one for you is Logan.
Logan is the movie.
Yes, it is.
Did it get the highest box office sales of a... like superpower movie?
When you're fumbling around in the dark like this, you've at least got to give me something remotely factual.
Did it though? I'm sure that probably I gave you factual. It
no.
was a movie.
No, actually.
No, it wasn't.
It did set a record, but not the one that you're.
Is that what you're with
that
regards
you're,
to?
That you're groping
See, now
for.
I just need to say it with more confidence and hoping you'll believe
for an,
me.
Hoping for an appeal to my kindness. I've bluffed.
You have never been kind to me.
I've bluffed a few of these with
show,
you.
So.
I've bluffed quite a few of these with you by being confident, and you're just sort of stumbling around. It's a movie that,
I was quite confident that it is a movie.
Yeah, Logan set a record for a March opening. is the highest grossing March opening of all time.
I'm just a really good guesser.
85, no, because you didn't know. You didn't have anywhere near this. $85.3 million it made over the weekend. In box office through Monday, it was fourth all time for R-rated movies, behind Deadpool, which is way out in front, The Matrix Reloaded, and American Sniper. So $85.3 million for an R-rated movie about a guy dressed up like a Wolverine.
I want to see it.
It's actually a very good movie. But I did not like it.
Really?
I didn't.
So how is it a good movie? Are you saying it's a good movie for the average moviegoer and you're just commenting as a film?
I can understand why people like it. I can understand why people are moved at it. I thought Patrick Stewart was phenomenal. Okay? If you're ever going to give somebody a best supporting actor for being in a superhero movie, Patrick Stewart is kind of edging into that territory. He's not going to get the nomination. It's never going to happen in a million years. But his performance is moving. Everything else in the film, I was like, you're really trying to get a reaction out of me here. And when a movie is deliberately trying to get a reaction out of me like that, I wall off. And I just say, nope, you're not getting it. You have to earn that. And I didn't think it earned it. I think it put all of these moments on screen that are supposed to be these big, meaningful moments, but it just didn't connect for me. So
you're sympathetic to the average viewership.
From what I hear, all of the men in the theaters who saw the movie were in tears all weekend long. So there it is. Put a cute little girl in something, and guys start crying. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. When we come back here on WMFO Medford, WikiLeaks has some new data on the CIA. The CIA is not happy about it. We'll tell you what they've got and what it means for you. Don't forget on the Tell Mikey D coming up tonight at 9 o'clock, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene right here on WMFO Medford.
To save the life I live, I'm gonna be out. Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is James Brown, soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs because they are super bad, super bad, super bad. Super bad, super bad.
WMFO Medford, I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and this is The Big Picture, here with you every Wednesday night. Derek, you ever get that feeling when you're in your house and you think like somebody's listening in or something, maybe somebody's spying on you?
Should I have thrown on, I always feel like somebody's watching me by Rockwell, right? Instead of Paul McCartney and Spies Like Us?
Yeah, do you have one of those smart TVs?
My TV is dumb as a rock.
Right.
But it's a plasma, so it has better black levels than all of those fancy 4K TVs that everybody's running around with.
Well, let me share with you why I'm asking you these questions. Ooh, CIA got themselves in some hot water. The U.S. intelligence agencies are facing this new embarrassment, specifically from the CIA, when our friends and yours, WikiLeaks, published what it described as the biggest leak of confidential documents.
It's pretty big, kids.
Yep, we're talking it's 8,700. What's the exact number? 8,700.
It's in the vicinity of 9,000. Mm-hmm. We'll round it up, we'll call it. We've got 9,000 pages of CIA documents, many of which are marked secret no foreign, which is pretty high level of classification.
Yeah, you can't walk out the door of Langley with those. And this is detailing the tools it uses to, now everybody listen up, break into phones, communication apps, and other electronical devices.
Did you just call them electronical devices?
Electronic devices. It's like megadata and metadata. It's all the same. Thousands of leaked documents focus mainly on techniques for hacking and reveal how the CIA cooperated with British intelligence to engineer a way to compromise smart televisions and turn them on into improvised surveillance devices.
Yeah.
So this leak, they call it Vault 7 by WikiLeaks. This is what they named it. Once again, raises the questions, one, about the inability of U.S. intelligence agencies to keep anything.
All
those leaks, we wonder what's going on. You would think that the people that are...
kind of a problem when you have this level of documentation hitting the internet.
But also, it makes you question... how are they getting away with this, and why are they getting away with this?
Well, interesting that you ask those questions, Lisa Nichols, because I got some answers for you. Because I took a stroll through the documents, and I took a stroll through the coverage. And basically, this isn't something that most Americans should be concerned with. Because while what they can do sounds scary, you've got to understand that there are very limited applications and uses for the sort of things that they can do. So here's a few examples. If you have a smartphone, primarily an Android device, particularly Samsung, they seem to be having a really good time going after Samsung devices for some reason. They can take control of it. And by take control of it, they can get directly at the operating system and see everything that is happening on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, there was a fake story, fake news from the New York Times that insinuated that they had figured out how to bypass the encryption in Signal and Snap.
WhatsApp.
And WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
So that it wasn't safe to use those things anymore.
Meaning that the government, before you even sent the message, because if you're using WhatsApp, it encrypts it for you, so it's not revealed.
Correct.
Until you press the button for it to come up.
If the government has control of the device, they can just see what you're typing.
Yes.
They can't break the encryption. They don't need to go near it if they have control of your device. They don't need to go near it.
Every finger tap is going to the government.
They can see what you're typing. They can see all your files. They can do all kinds of fun things. Similarly, they can take control of your desktop computer. We've known that they could do this forever. They can set it up so that it reports files and information back to a different computer without being detected. We've known they could do this for a long time. This one was a little bit surprising. They can take control of your smart TV, specifically the Samsung F8000. Is the one model that they definitely had the ability to control. They could put it into a mode called Fake Off.
This was a program called Weeping Angel.
Weeping Angel, named after a Doctor Who enemy.
I knew you would love that.
And basically, it would make it look like the TV was off, but in reality, the camera and the audio and the microphone on the Samsung, this is one of those voice-controlled smart TVs, which is why they went after it, are on. So it's recording conversations sending it back.
There have been lawsuits about this with getting information from people's phone, people's televisions, whether they were in the sleep mode or off mode, but still recording. Because, of course, we want advertisers to know what we need, what our family needs, or what we need every day. So they were getting that information, paying for that. Unfortunately,
now
that's not good.
Here's... all this sounds scary. It's like, oh my God, they're spying on me. Here's some of the reality behind this. Weeping Angel in particular could only be installed from a USB stick, which means you have to put somebody in the room with the television or infect the television before it goes to its end user in order to make this work. None of these are mass surveillance tools or mass surveillance hacks. These are all hacks that would go after very targeted individuals because they are difficult to install and because the information that they collect is very specific. We're talking about actual recordings, actual things that you're typing, actual people that you're talking to in real time. That is a much higher level of surveillance than what Edward Snowden was talking about, where the CIA and the NSA were basically spying on everybody all the time and could just sort of go trolling through and make connections and investigate people on a whim.
Well, I mean, essentially the NSA was contacting your major carrier phone companies, whether it be Verizon, Samsung, or T-Mobile, saying, we know that you keep all of your records for 2 years. We're going to take them. But didn't even have to say anything. They had everything at their hands.
Right.
What you're talking about, Derek, is what the CIA was trying to do and talking about targeted people, generally used for high-end criminals or terrorism.
You pretty much need wiretap authorization to use any of these tools. And you have to have a very specific target in mind. So for those of you who are worried about using Snap or using Signal or any of this stuff, unless you have reason to suspect that the NSA and the CIA or maybe the FBI are currently investigating you, you're fine. All right? Send your self-destructing naked pictures back and forth. Nobody cares. Okay? If you have reason to believe that you're a target, different story. And that's when you have to start wondering, do I have an infected device? Now, it's interesting because they talk about some of the ways that they get this stuff installed. And one of the things that they did was they had six infected USB sticks with a particular malware package on it that they put into the production servers for, and they only used 5 of the 6, for very well-known pieces of software. So these things come along with the software. You don't know that you're getting the malware and the Trojan with it. And some of those pieces of software may include VLC Media Player, very popular among the pornography set. WinRAR, also very popular among the pornography set. Microsoft Office Installer was infected. Adobe Reader Installer was infected. Those are programs that everybody uses. Mm-hmm. So in this case, you've got a combination of things that are a couple of software tools that are popular with a very specific subgroup of users, people who are usually trying to send very large files in a highly compressed format, and everybody. Because mm-hmm. Office and Adobe Reader,
those generally come with,
if you have a browser,
your basic,
you have a browser, you're using those, mm-hmm. and they may have been compromised. The other interesting thing in all of this, and for me the most interesting part of this, other than the fact that somebody keeps naming these software, these hacks after Pokemon, in addition to the Doctor Who Weeping Angel, there is a program called Dugtrio. Mm-hmm. There is another one called Spiro.
Ricky Bobby was one of my favorites.
Ricky Bobby is a big one.
He's a Will Ferrell fan.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby is one. There's one called Starmie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's stuff is all over the place. But there are a lot of Pokemon names in there. Out of all of the possible names, between the final code names for the hacks and the development names for the hacks, there's more Pokemon than anything else.
Okay, so we basically laid out everything and saying, for the average person, it doesn't concern you. What does concern me, though, is that the government, now that we know, has the ability to do this. And in the times that we're in now, in this administration, it may not be used against us.
Well, I think I said you shouldn't be concerned with the hacks. I didn't say you shouldn't be concerned at all.
This is what I'm saying you should be concerned about, that the government has the ability to do this. And the number one thing that I've learned from you, and you preach quite often, is that it's never good when the government can make lists and government has information on you that it shouldn't. So you can say, please take everything in my phone, look through it. You're not going to find anything. You can erase whatever and think that we're not going to find it. But what is happening in today's world, it might be fine, but what happens if there's a new president?
Right.
What happens if there is a new regime that takes over in the United States that doesn't like a certain thing that you're doing on your phone, or who you're communicating with, or what you're doing in your own home?
But again, you know, as I've said before, if you're going to worry
about...
What
is concerning, though, is that they have the ability to do that. And they have the tools which have been laid out for everybody to see.
If you're going to worry about government mass surveillance, if you're going to worry about government surveillance...
No, if we haven't already in the past, in the time of NSA, then I'm sorry, you're in complete naive and in ignorance.
The mass surveillance capabilities of the NSA are far more concerning and far more alarming than any of this stuff, okay? But there are some things here that raise a lot of concern. Number one, a lot of these are off-the-shelf hacks. These are known hacks. The CIA is buying them and weaponizing them. And the reason the CIA is buying them and weaponizing them is because they're not very good at writing their own code anymore. Within the CIA, there was an organization that was known as, let's see, let me find this in here. Equations, it wasn't Equations. All right, now I can't find it. No, here it is. Nope. The Equation Group. There was a group within the CIA known as the Equation Group that was writing its own hacking tools. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they used the same custom-built cryptographic library for all of the tools. So when their hacks, when their viruses were discovered by Kaspersky Labs, Kaspersky Labs could subsequently trace an entire suite of tools back to this one organization. And there is conversation among the documents between people in the CIA or the NSA. We don't know because all the names are redacted. But there's a conversation where a bunch of engineers are going back and forth and saying, how do we stop this from happening in the future?
Essentially, it's like putting your stamp on your work.
This
and
was,
you got caught.
This was part of the reason, part of the way that they found Stuxnet.
Mm-hmm.
Is because there were multiple versions of Stuxnet put out there, and Kaspersky Labs was eventually able to decipher all of the different versions of Stuxnet and see how it had evolved over time. So this is a similar situation. And ultimately, what you have is you have the CIA sitting there and saying, look, buy off the shelf. Let's not use our own stuff unless it is an absolute emergency, because if we use off-the-shelf stuff, everybody knows what it is. Nobody's going to come looking for us. If we use our own stuff, we got to be so careful in how we write it. Don't use these kinds of strings. Don't use these kinds of commands. Don't use custom cryptographic libraries so that it can never be traced back to us. There's a very good documentary on Showtime right now. It's called Zero Day. And it is about Stuxnet. And it was produced by, it was directed by Alex Gabney, who you may know as George Clooney's frequent collaborator in Participant Media. You got to see this documentary to understand this story, because they go into very great depth about what the United States did and how what the United States did is essentially an act of war, because we wrote a piece of software that would destroy Iranian centrifuges,
mm-hmm.
blow them up, releasing clouds of radioactive gas in the laboratory. The Iranians retaliated against us. The Iranians went in.
They essentially found out.
The Iranians found out. Well, it was reported.
Yes, of course.
Because according to those within the government, because the Israelis modified the code and did something stupid that the CIA did not approve of, would not have done, that enabled it to be found. But once Iran found out about it, they retaliated and they attacked U.S. companies. And in one case, they erased every piece of data on every laptop and computer system belonging to a U.S. company.
But think about that in today's day and age. If we had the ability, because as you just said, the CIA hackers don't know what they're doing. If we had the ability to have that once again, to have that tool, that war of destruction, and understanding the faulty of our intelligence agencies that China, Russia, anybody can hack into, then having that power.
This is next level warfare. And for everybody listening to me right now, there is a war being fought in cyberspace at this very moment between the United States, China, Russia, Iran, and who knows what other countries. This is going on. This is active warfare against systems, against capabilities that is taking place. And in some cases, we won't see the results of that warfare unless there is a broader conflict between these two companies, these two countries. Seeds have been sown that will take down infrastructure. That will kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our first look behind the curtain at exactly what the CIA is up to. There is one profoundly concerning thing in all of this. Under the Obama administration, there was an agreement between software companies and the United States government that if zero-day exploits were found, they would be reported to the software companies so they could be patched. According to these documents, that is not happening. The United States government is finding zero-day exploits, and they're not reporting them so that they can create hacking tools out of them. That's something that should concern the American people, because that is our government deciding that their military action is more valuable than your rights and your privacy as a consumer. I know they like to think they know what's best, but we will remember, they're our government. They work for us, not the other way around. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. This is WMFO Medford, The Big Picture. Derek and Lisa with you until 9 o'clock tonight. On the Towel, Mikey D coming up after that. And when we come back, our favorite stories and the strangest stories of the past week. Thank you.
but the flower people say. Listen, it's getting louder every day. Listen, it's like a bolt out of the blue. Listen, it could be calling now for you. No, it's not too just for you and me. Listen to what the flower people say. Listen, it's getting truer every day.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary with you every Wednesday. Of course, it's time for What's Hot. Finally, we get to do What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. It's not my favorite thing from this week. This was a couple weeks ago, but because last week we didn't have it, we had the Oscar show. We've been, you know, too much news going on. This is a huge announcement in the craft beer world. You don't like hoppy beers, so this doesn't concern you.
What my opinion toward hops is not FCC safe.
Yes. it's a four-letter word. And it, yes. Yeah. Well, if anybody is a fan of craft beer, I'm sure they've heard of Lawson's Finest. It's one of my favorite breweries out of Vermont. They have a beer called Sip of Sunshine. And the thing with Vermont, they don't really distribute their beers much. Most of them, all the highly sought-out ones don't. Really exciting. A couple weeks ago, Lawson's Finest started some contracts, and they are now bringing it to Massachusetts. If you're lucky enough to get it, congratulations. Generally, in the day and age of social media, most of the places are posting on Facebook or Instagram when it is being released at a certain time. It's generally 1 4-pack per person. If you can get it, go. I would, so if you're in this area, Ball Square does have it once in a while. Follow them on Facebook or Instagram, and then you can figure out what it's coming. But yeah, within 15 minutes to an hour, I've seen it gone.
You know what you gotta do? You gotta make friends with somebody who works the place.
Yes.
And be like, give me the heads up when the good stuff comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe
save you some in the back.
Maybe you got to throw them $10 or whatever. But, you know, if it gets you a six pack of the beer that you like, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's the way we used to do it back in the day, kids. It still works in 2017. These people make minimum wage doing retail. They will gladly take your $10 to keep a six pack in the back room for you. St. Patrick's Day is next week. Are we actually going to be broadcasting on St. Patrick's Day? No, we're not.
It's Friday.
It's Friday. But that means it is Shamrock Everything time. The Shamrock Shake is back at McDonald's. And this to me has always been one of the more unusual items on the McDonald's menu. Because McDonald's has a lot of seasonal stuff that comes and goes. But the Shamrock Shake has like the quickest shelf life of any of the stuff. There have been years when they've just ignored it and not done it. And when they do it, it's usually around for like a week or two and then it's gone. This year they've gone
all
in.
It's mint flavored, right?
It's green, it's mint flavored. This year they've got three different variations of it.
Oh.
You can get a mocha Shamrock Shake. You can get a chocolate Shamrock Shake. You can get the regular Shamrock Shake.
And again, this is if the soft serve machine and flurry machines are actually working.
If the McFlurry machine is actually functional, you can get your Shamrock Shake either way. You may not be able to get the McFlurry mixed version at all times. So that's back. And of course it's green and it tastes like mint. But they're not the only ones in the game this year. Our friends at Hostess, you remember Hostess?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I tried to get some of these for tonight and couldn't find any. I remember when we talked about them going out of business on this show years ago. Hostess has come out with Shamrock Cupcakes. And this is the Hostess chocolate cupcake that you know and love. Only it's got a green top instead of a
really?
Chocolate top. And it has mint filling.
I don't know how I feel about that.
From what I hear, they're very good. They are delicious.
It's so strange when you take like such a childhood classic, like the Twinkie, and during Christmas time, they fill it with the peppermint. It's like it's good, but your brain's thinking about a certain flavor that you're going to be getting, and then you bite into it, and you're like, wait, I'm just confused. I'm trying to sensory overload.
Yeah. I don't know how we got on this whole mint is St. Patrick's Day thing.
I mean, what are your other options?
Do they
millennials and granola country is matcha. Like matcha tea is everything.
Do they even have mint in Ireland?
No.
No, they don't.
They could do pistachio.
Mint is like a Vietnamese thing. So there's got to be something else, but you know. You know what the problem is like...
Yeah, but there's a difference between the sugary mint flavor and...
You know what the problem is? Color determines taste in the United States of America.
Of course.
And we associate green with mint.
Yeah, I'm still angry that all the Fruit Loops, different colors, same flavor.
And for some reason, we associate green with apple as well. And I don't know. Because if you're eating the green apple, it's probably not ripe. But Hostess Shamrock Cupcakes, 8 packs available at a store near you. 50... calories from fat in every delicious serving. Load up.
Mm. As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest story. From this week's news, Texas, it's like a bigger Florida. Yes, a man can love, but a chain link fence. Texas man, Eldoro Estrella, is facing indecent exposure charges after a neighbor reported witnessing the naked 32-year-old man having sex with a fence that separates their Austin property. According to the arrest affidavit, Diana Vasquez first spotted her neighbor urinating on the fence about 11:25 a.m. Wednesday. When the man realized that Vasquez was recording him with her cell phone, he allegedly took off his clothes. After disrobing, the man, quote, put his mouth inside the chain link fence and stuck his tongue up and down and moving it. Yeah, gets better. As the neighbor noted, he was demonstrating a sexual act. Estrella then allegedly proceeded to, quote, stick his erect penis in the chain link fence and then began to have sex with the fence. Who pretended it was a female? Estrella showed the video of the cell phone on the cell phone of the man, and he was charged with disorderly conduct. That's it, apparently.
It goes without saying that the fence did not consent.
Yeah, there were more. I tried to make that as less explicit. Ms. Vasquez got really into it when describing to police what had taken place with her neighbor.
A man who shall forever be known as Fence Bucker, I think, in the rest of his life. We had Van Bucker last year. Now we have Fence Bucker. I'm going to add another one to the list because fences weren't the only ones getting lucky last week, kids. Minnesota. According to a criminal complaint, a man in Croxton was telling police that he became suspicious after noticing the mailman spending a long period of time in his garage. The man added that he was going to call the post office to have them tell his mailman to stop going into his garage to leave packages. The man was not there when the mailman arrived, so the homeowner got a notification on his phone every single time someone appeared on his property, which is outfitted with security cameras. The homeowner told police that he, quote, wanted to know what the mailman was doing in his garage for long periods of time, end quote. So he reviewed surveillance footage. On February 7th, Brian Chapman, 21, was recorded entering the garage around 1:30 p.m. and setting down a package. The mailman then engaged in, quote, a sexual act with a dog, which was in the garage, end quote, reported Polk County Sheriff's Office Deputy Kyle Olson. Mr. Chapman has been charged, saying that he did carnally know a dog. Certainly moving, I believe, mailman canine relations forward several decades.
New meaning to put it in the mail slot.
We usually expect the dog to be biting the mailman. Not in this case. The mailman is getting busy with the dog.
Not a good look, America.
Not a good look for Mr. Chapman. At the age of 21, yeah, you're going to be the sad guy sitting at the end of the bar for the rest of your life, explaining to everybody new in town why they call you Dog Bucker. That's your future, Mr. Chapman. Kids, think about that before you decide to have intercourse with a dog. If this happened in Seattle, I actually wouldn't be as surprised. Minnesota, like to think they're a little more sensible than that. Anyway, that is just about all the time that we have on the Talent. Mikey D is coming up next with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Are we setting the clocks ahead this weekend, or is that next weekend? When does this happen?
This week, really?
I don't know. When do we do this? When's the daylight savings time? It's soon.
It's usually not until the end of the month.
No, they keep moving it around just to confuse us. It is this weekend,
kids. Ooh, Sunday, March 12th.
March 12th.
Wait, so we lose an hour
asleep. So you're losing an hour. Don't forget, March 13th.
More daylight.
Biggest day of the year for heart attacks. There will be sun shining when we're on the air next week. And as I like to say, this is a great time to change the batteries in your smoke detectors and change your bong water, folks. Doesn't change itself. Something to look forward to in this 20-degree weekend.
Spring cleaning.
Yes. So until next time, Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely, as always.
And I am Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.
I think we got it now. Get a power increase, and we should get a better release. Everybody would hear us then at 91.5 FM. It would be so awesome. Everybody would hear us.
Everyone would hear us.
And all the computers.